Welcome to Alumni Live, the podcast. These are conversations with Grand Valley State University film and video graduates about the industry, the film video major, and alumni profiles. Thanks for tuning in again to the Alumni Live podcast. We are here with Dan Campbell. He's an independent feature film producer. Dan is going to talk to us all about the time starting off at Grand Valley and then all the way to becoming the award-winning filmmaker he is. Let's talk about your most recent project. Tell us, what does your career look like in 2023 as we are right now?
Currently, as a freelance feature film producer and producer in general for entertainment, I have a couple films in development, one that I've written, the screenplay myself, and then a couple that my business partner, he has written. We have in various stages of development. And then I also have a personal project that Randy has been part of that's also had some traction, a documentary type format. Why I'm vague on it is because it seems like it's ever evolving every day. The most recent project that I've completed was last year. I did a feature film on location in Louisiana. It's scheduled to be released this fall. There'll be a theatrical release along with some streaming. But right now I'm kind of in a holding pattern and different various stages of development with personal projects. In the last few years, I've pivoted more towards my own creative projects as opposed to what we call hired gun projects. A couple of years ago when the pandemic shifted everything, I took that opportunity to focus more on my personal creative projects. I put a lot of the hired gun stuff on the back burner. I don't want to jinx myself, but one of the projects, the docuseries that I've been working on, is a very personal project, which is in active development. I'm actually in discussion with a major cable network right now. So we'll see how that goes. Waiting on bated breath with that. And then the feature films that we have in development, we're kind of loosely in talks with getting a green light on financing those. It seems like the hired gun stuff is starting to ramp up again post-pandemic. A lot of platforms are available now and a lot of them need content. That work seems like it never ceases, specifically for line producing or production management or the logistical side. There's just always a need for content.
You've got your own personal projects. You're at a point where these things are releasing in theaters. You're out there, you're around, you're making stuff. But back at the beginning, Grand Valley, you graduated in 2010, right?
Yep, we graduated together.
What was Grand Valley like for you? What kind of projects were you working on? What was your student experience there?
My experience at Grand Valley was positive on many fronts. The quality of the education, the quality of the instructors, the quality of the equipment. When we get into specific of film production, it was the best avenue for me personally to get into the business. A lot of factors go into choosing the route. And I have this argument all the time with my current business partner and other peers in the film business of film school versus non-film school. And this is where I have a background in the U.S. military. I served for a short time. The military, specifically the United States Marine Corps, you have enlisted, which is your blue collar, and then your officers, which is your white collar. So just like that in the film business, you have your above the line and below the line. I look at those as parallel. So what I say is that in the Marine Corps, when you have somebody who's enlisted and they cross over into the officer world, they call it a Mustang, like the horse. And so in the film business, because I have the foundation of a undergraduate degree in film and video production coupled with on-the-job experience that I'm considered a Mustang. So when I talk with other peers or other filmmakers and some who've built a career 30 plus years with no film school, all through on-the-job training, and those who have a foundation like myself, this is kind of like a Mustang version of that. Everybody has an opinion or an approach to creating their craft, which the film business is obviously a craft. I champion more the Mustang version. I feel like the education gives you a good foundation that you can build from with on-the-job training and whatever your passion is. So there's a classic argument of no film school versus film school. I would be in the camp of film school if it fits your scenario, depending on what your objectives are or what your career goals are or what you're trying to do. But my personal story is that I applied to Grand Valley, got accepted to Grand Valley, and got accepted the film major. And my emphasis was fiction filmmaking at the time. So that was a path and journey I took. And it gave me, with the experience and the instructors and all those other assets, the tools that I could put in my toolbox. Then when I finished my undergraduate degree and I was on a film set, I could go back and use those tools. And then also coupled with my personal experience and personal life journey and apply those to on-the-job training, specifically in feature films. And then working up the ranks of a feature film crew below the line and then crossing into above the line. And then where I am now, I can say I'm a bondable PGA feature film producer. But how I got to that point was through the beginning of the journey, through my foundation, working through the ranks and gaining experience, networking and learning on the job and relying on that foundation that I had started to get me to where I am, just like any kind of craft, whether it's a carpenter or a mason, you hone in on it. And that's the thing with filmmaking. There's so many avenues to go, whether it's fiction filmmaking, feature filmmaking, television, network, documentary. It comes down to your foundations and your experiences and your networking. The bottom line is it's a craft, whether you're in front of the camera, behind the camera, any of that world, it's a craft. And through experience and time, you begin to hone that craft. It's also a passing of knowledge, which is kind of funny because it's all parallel for me with experience of the Marine Corps, because the Marine Corps is big on tradition as well, which is passing of the knowledge from the older generation to the younger generation. When you get into feature filmmaking in Hollywood, it's a community and mentorship, because it's such a personal and passionate craft that people who are in it for a long time, it's this intrinsic thing where they want to pass the knowledge to. Never stop asking questions. If you're looking for advice, there's basic things that anybody can apply that doesn't cost any money. It's work ethic. It's the willingness to learn. You're not punching a clock. If you're willing to learn and make mistakes and learn from those mistakes and have an open mind and adapt, you can do anything that goes across any kind of career path or craft. But if you can harness those things for filmmaking business, they will help you leaps and bounds. I'm living proof of it, not to be egotistical or anything, but I grew up in a town of 5,000 people in rural West Michigan with a dream to make movies. And fast forward 14, 15 years later, I'm making movies and I'm paying my bills. If you really want it and you go after it, it's out there. We live in a country that affords us those opportunities if we pursue them. And that's the whole thing, like in our Constitution, the pursuit of happiness. Filmmaking was my passion when I was younger, and I just went after it. And I still go after every day. To be a freelance filmmaker, you only receive the benefits for what you put into it. I have to remind myself that every day. And that's some of the faults to my own. I'm not the best marketer. And that's a big thing for our business. You got to market yourself, especially freelance and self-employed. The work isn't going to come to you. You have to find the work. And I always said this too. I feel like sometimes I do more work finding the work. And then when I get the work, it's like a pause. And then where's the next paycheck coming from? But there also has to be that passion in that starving artist. I hate to throw that out. That's pretty cliche too. But it's time and circumstance too. When I graduated Grand Valley in 2010 with you, Randy, we were fortunate that there was a lot of feature film work specifically actually happening in the state of Michigan. The film incentives were still active. They're still robust. I graduated, and within 2 weeks of finishing Grand Valley, I had my first paid position on a feature film. I was hired in the production office of a Hallmark feature film.
Make those connections.
Right. And so that's that whole thing. It's all about networking. That's where you have to put in the effort with networking and keeping connections. My business partner, who is also my mentor, we own a production company and we've produced movies together, but he's been in the business for 30 plus years. One day you may have a PA, there might be somebody under your supervision that you might be reporting to on the next job. You have to keep this Rolodex, now I'm dating myself, a Rolodex or this list of contacts, regardless of what their position is at the time when you meet them. And it's this ever evolving network that you're creating in the freelance film world where you never know where a contact is going to be an asset or vice versa. It's kind of like a river, you know, it just flows.
Yeah, keep all your options open. Make sure you got good relationships.
Keep all your options open. Relationships. The business is big on relationships. My first paid film actually came via my advisor at Grand Valley. That's what's wild about it.
Who was that advisor?
Kim Roberts. Honestly, if it wasn't for Kim, I probably wouldn't be where I'm at right now, along with everybody else throughout my career, including my family and my support system. But Kim Roberts, as my advisor, was very instrumental in not only shepherding me through the program, but also she literally got me my first paid job. I had the paycheck stub framed in my office, which is kind of funny. She threw my name in the hat when a local producer was looking for office production assistance.
What was it about you as a student that you think Kim Roberts saw and thought she could trust you in a professional setting?
At that point, I had been going to Grand Valley for a couple of years now, and I was a senior. I had just recently unit production managed the summer film, which is a keystone thing with the film program. she saw the work I was doing and she put me in that area of people that are about to be recent graduates and threw me in that pool. I also did an internship, which I had a pretty good review on. So that helped. I hit those benchmarks. And then I was a graduate. At the time, there was 3 or 4 films shooting in the Grand Rapids area. They were looking for bodies at the time. We say that in Marine Corps, bodies, but they were looking for personnel. What's funny about that story is that whole persistence thing. I remember she forwarded my resume and they reached out to me. A small film. Hallmark films are low budget. The line producer's like, yeah, come in and interview. And I remember interviewing. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is a big deal. And this guy, who's a line producer, he's doing a lot of stuff in pre-production, especially. So I just remember you sitting behind this desk, like 3 or 4 monitors, half listening to me. And I'm sitting there interviewing for an office PA because I think he was also the UPM at the time because it was a DGA film. It was like a quick interview. Done. All right. And a day or 2 or 3 went by and I hadn't heard anything. And I was like, oh man. And this is a couple weeks after I graduated. With our profession, it's so sporadic or unpredictable. It's freelance. It's self-employed work, right?
Yeah. It floods when it floods and it's dry when it's dry.
Yeah. So this is my first foray into it. So I follow up and I contact them. And I remember this like yesterday. It was 14, 15 years ago. I call him like, hey, you know, Dan Kimball, I interviewed for the office PA position. Just following up. And he's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. You're hired. I forget to call you. Like he was so swamped that he already... In his mind, he thought he checked that box and moved on. Yeah. And he was like, can you show up tomorrow? And I'm like, yeah, I'll be there tomorrow. It was pretty interesting because it's just humorous when I think about it now, because now me line producing, I totally understand it now.
Yeah, you've been in that position.
It's like I've been in that position where you literally, it's like the house is on fire.
Yeah. And you still have to get your paperwork done as the house is on fire.
Yeah, you set the paperwork and this and that, pay people and hire things and shoot a movie. And so that was my first paid position on a feature film as an office PA. I got on that and met people on that. And then it just like spider web from there, the network, because a person I met on that film got hired on another film right after that. And then they threw my name in the hat. And then I got onto that set. It kind of domino affected from there and started building that network. That's where I honed into the production side of feature films and narrowing my focus and my experience from there on what positions I was applying. At first, I was applying for anything at that point to get on any set. And then I started working my way up there.
That's a great story. And I think I hear 2 big lessons out of that story. So you let me know if I'm on the right track here. But it sounds like one of those is you want to have that resume ready throughout your time at Grand Valley. So by participating in the summer film, which I have a question about that when we get there. And then also building that resume up, you made yourself known in classes. Kim obviously knew who you were. And then coming out of that, persistence. You made sure that you followed up and didn't just wait for him to call you because it turned out that it wasn't even on his mind. He was like, oh yeah, get in here tomorrow.
Film production is chaos. I had this little voice in my head and my wife, but at the time we were dating, she probably put that bug in my ear. So maybe you should call.
Yeah.
Or maybe you should follow up because it's not a formal setting. It is and it isn't outside of film world. Things are very formal or standard in the film world. We could be talking right now and not again to sound arrogant or whatever, but I could get a call right now from an executive producer or from a production company that I worked with before. And they're like, hey, we got a film. We're thinking about shooting, you know, next month in South Africa. Are you available? And I got to be like, well, you know, sure. You have to be self-motivated, just being self-employed or freelance in general. The more you put into it, the more you get out of it. And I'm not perfect. I know I have my strengths and weaknesses, but persistence, work ethic, determination, stubbornness. You got to have the passion. You got to want it. Because, I mean, to be honest, this business, everybody wants to be in show business. You have to have a desire to make it happen. The industry is going through a lot of transitions recently on all fronts, technology, cultural. Everything. I guess the bottom line would be you have to be able to adapt. That's actually the biggest thing. I'm sure maybe you've experienced that with things, no matter what it is, you have to adapt to the situation. It's a fluid work environment for sure. So being able to adapt on the fly is a skill set across the board, whether you're the DP or the camera assistant or a costume designer or a production assistant or the director, you have to adapt always. Because there's plan A, and then there's plan B, and plan C, and then what do you do after that?
You got to be ready for it all, right?
Ready for it all.
We're taking a short break to tell you about the Dirk Koning Memorial Film and Video Scholarship. Here's Gretchen Vinich remembering Dirk Koenig.
The Koenig Scholarship enables students to get that kind of an education, to be a good filmmaker, to be able to express their voice, and to continue Dirk's dream.
For more information and to donate to the scholarship, visit the link in the description. Now back to the show. So that tool specifically, like being able to adapt, if we're thinking back to that summer film, Horizontal Accidents was that movie. And I remember you being the UPM, there were some like wild location things that you had to overcome and put together. One of the values of being at Grand Valley is we kind of had this laboratory where we could experiment, we could try out our different skills and be these positions. Can you talk a little bit about what a unit production manager is and then what that was like on that summer film and especially how those skills help you today as a producer who has a movie coming out with theatrical release pretty soon?
The summer film project was a basic training. Because it immerses you into that machine of film production. It gives you the baseline skills to survive on a real film set. I did two summer films during my tenure at Grand Valley. The first summer film I did, I was part of the behind the scenes, which was great because it allowed me to be a fly on the wall everywhere, which I think you did that one as well.
I was in the sound department and similarly, like very much a fly on the wall. Like, you know, I'm sitting there with a boom pole. We're done setting up and then we just watch the director work. We watch the DP make decisions. I definitely recommend doing some of those fly on the wall positions just to see it.
And that's actually what attracted me to Grand Valley. The summer film project piqued my interest. It was like, oh, wow. So when I get into the program and I did my first one, I was part of the behind the scenes. It's just this microcosm of different experiences, which is also very parallel to a real film set. And so you have these different levels of experience and different positions and stuff. The first one I did, I was like, this is great. This is definitely what I want to do. And then the second feature film I did was Horizontal Accidents.
We didn't know each other much before the summer film, but people knew that you were the producer guy. I don't know the specifics of how you got to be that position.
I think I applied for it. And well, that's the thing. When you go to film school, it's like whatever your path is to get to there of your passion. At the time for me, you know, I want to direct things. It's a default. But then once I got into the program and I started taking the courses and I started doing the hands-on and then applying the already baseline skills that I had from life experience or the military, that's when I started to focus in on the production side of things when I realized that was kind of my skill set. I've never been a tech person, so I started focusing on production and logistical things. When I did my different projects throughout the program, that's kind of where I honed in my skill set. Then fast forward to my senior year and getting the position as a unit production manager at the time. And this is where we can toot our horn. I'm pretty sure that was the first summer film shot on a digital format, which is perfect for us at the time getting into the industry to have that because that's also a resume thing too. I did eventually do a 35 millimeter film, which was the hardest film I've ever done.
Which one was that?
That was a feature film I did in West Michigan as a production office coordinator that I shot on 35 millimeter film. And if you've done a 35 millimeter theatrical film as a production coordinator, it's logistically hell. In the wintertime in Michigan on 35 millimeter, it's just insane.
Sure. So shooting on red was a very good thing for us.
Now we're students and we're shooting on red and it's this latest, greatest thing. I think at the time, I don't know if we had the biggest budget for a short.
They didn't tell us in the sound department if that was true.
I want to say it was either at or above the usual. It was kind of a deal. I do remember that because I had to go with Kim Roberts, who is a producer on it, go to budget meetings with Grand Valley number crunchers and pre-production.
So that really sets you up then for executive producing your own budget meetings.
So I remember it going into those budget meetings as a student with Kim and I, and there's literally 10 people in front of us going through the budget line by line that are not filmmakers, that are nothing to do with film production. This one person, I don't know who it was, but they were like, catering, that's a big line item. Why do we got to feed people? And Kim and I are like, an army moves on its stomach. That's actually very critical in our industry. And I do remember them busting in that line. One of our largest budgets was catering. And so things like that as a UPM, producing all that stuff now down the line, I can use. Here I'm in front of 10 Grand Valley board members, picking apart our budget that we came up with based on the script. In the schedule, because that's how you properly do it, script, schedule, budget, and then implement them. So then we shoot this short film. It was 10 weeks for $35,000 or something like that. It was definitely a baptism by fire because not only was it digital, I was solely in charge of the budget. Kim was there too, guiding me, but it was me with two credit cards issued out by Grand Valley. And we had a LA director.
Yeah, Tom Seidman came in.
So you throw in that, and then we had a professional VP, but we shot it in what, 10 days?
Multiple locations. It was really quick.
It was a 10-day shoot for 35,000, live action, digital format, single camera, stunts, vehicles, multiple locations. A hearse, which I drove when we picked it up, which was pretty funny to drive a hearse because people are looking at me when I'm driving it through the S-curve. Here's this guy in the t-shirt driving a hearse. He gave me the basic training on the production side of things that definitely I still use today.
You've done the summer film. You've graduated. You're working on your first Hallmark movie. Then you start producing some of your own stuff. Tell us about some of your first movies.
I did a handful of feature films after I graduated, five or six, mainly in production side of things, office PA, set PA, assistant production office coordinator, production office coordinator. Then the film incentive collapsed at a certain point. So the work dried up here specifically for feature films in both West and Eastern Michigan. I want to say it was around 2012. A couple years after graduating, where I personally had to make a decision, was I going to relocate to a hub, LA, New York, Atlanta, New Orleans, where films specifically are happening, or TV shows, because commercial work still happens in Michigan. I looked at Chicago, do I go back and do a master's degree in producing or an MFA? I almost applied, but at some point I decided, okay, I'm going to move to LA, because I had some contacts at this point. I lived in Los Angeles for at least a year. I moved out there, classic, put all my possessions in my vehicle. I literally had $400 in my checking account and I'm sleeping on an air mattress. I'm applying for jobs on Craigslist. I got one paid one, a feature. And then I did one for free. I did a handful of things and rebuilding my network out there. There was kind of a resurgence in film work back in Michigan. So I was bouncing back and forth at one point between LA and here, building my career. Working through my ranks, I met another producer who was my mentor and who now is my business partner.
Is that when you started Blue Falcon Productions?
Yeah, Blue Falcon Productions, which is the production entity I own. We're both freelance feature film producers, line producers, but that's our banner that we do our own content and sometimes production services under. And I worked my way up. The first film I produced was an indie film that actually got shelved, never saw the light of day, in Mississippi. I produced that with my business partner and we played multiple hats. That was when I was 25. And then after that, we produced a couple other films that did get released. And then we did our own film, The Incantation.
Can you talk a little bit about The Incantation? Because that won some awards, right?
Yep. So that won some local awards in West Michigan. It won an Eclipse Award for Best Director. It was a hybrid thing where our production is based out of Michigan, our production entity, and the Eclipse Awards is a local awards for feature films. So we were able to qualify for that. But that film was written and directed by my business partner, Judah Swalko, and I produced it. It's a horror genre film. It stars Dean Cain. We basically pulled a Robert Rodriguez, El Mariachi type thing. We had a couple films that we had gone back and forth getting green lights on. And we went from one time having a green light for like a $5 million budget on one film and then $300,000 and back and forth. And it didn't get into production. So finally, we were just like, okay, we got to shelve that. What can we produce now independently to brand ourselves and put ourselves out there? We had an opportunity to film on location in France at a chateau for in kind, free. So Jude wrote a script around that location. And then from there, we backed into that. How much is it going to cost? Horror genre, inexpensive. What do we need? Bare bones. What connections can we pull? We bootstrapped literally an entire feature film on location in France, starring Dean Cain, former TV Superman.
How did you get in touch with Dean Cain?
Jude had a personal relationship with Dean Cain in that he had worked with him a couple times prior in films. And he had pulled a scheduling favor for him on one of those films. And Dean never forgot that.
Wow.
So fast forward, we're all pulling our connections at this point. And Dean would work for this role. Let's see if he can help us out. We got a hold of him. And sure enough, he remembered that favor. Next thing you know, we had a weekly feature film that we shot on location for 25 days with Dean Cain for $100,000 US.
Wow.
It was something that was also like a summer film project for both of us. Because this is my business partner's directorial debut. It was our own film under our company. It was putting us all out there personally, financially, and professionally. We did it. We bootstrapped distribution on our own. We got placement with Redbox. They ordered 50,000 units of this film. We were told less than 10% independent films get into Redbox. That was a nice mark on our belt that gave us a little morale boost. We're still in the red on the film, to be honest. But that wasn't the point. The point was that we created our own original content. We produced it. We distributed it. We exhibited it. It's out right there. It's that whole Robert Rodriguez mentality. The way you can just make it happen. It's not the greatest film, but it's our film.
Yeah.
It's out there. And then we did a follow-up. Jude directed another film, but that's still in post-production. We did that a couple of years later. He's almost done with it, trying to finish it up, that we shot on location in Thailand. The bottom line is that it's a craft. It's a passion. Put your head down and put your shoulder to the wheel to make your own content. It's a lot of discipline and it's a lot of persistence.
That's such a great story too, of making that opportunity happen. Just seeing what you have in your network and then just backing into it. We got a location. Who can help us with this? How do we make it? What can we pull together? And all of a sudden you got your first feature film.
Yeah. And we couldn't have made it without our network. And that's the thing. I can't wait till the day we're out of the red, where we can pay some deferred payment to crew or vice versa. The people that helped us with that film were not only professional colleagues, but they were our friends. And that's why they helped us too, is they wanted to see us succeed. And they're all passionate professionals themselves. Everybody from the sound mixer to the boom operator, to the camera operators, to the gaffers, all the crew and the cast and everybody wanted to be there. They wanted to make a movie. And that's the bottom line. They all knew what they were getting into. It was like,
sure.
Hey, you want to come to France and shoot a movie with us? We'll pay you in some baguettes.
Looking at your IMDb, one movie I'm wondering if you've got a story about. Could you talk about Black Beauty? I assume there were some horses involved with that.
That was an interesting film because that was a hired gun project. We filmed that location as production services in Rhode Island with Luke Perry and Bruce Davison. I had never done anything at that scope with animals. But we had another producer, Dave Bellino. He owned a horse farm. His daughter and wife were equestrians. It was challenging, and you're working with animals, and we were working with minors. There were stunts as well, but it comes down to leaning on those professionals, having a safe set, and you're making a movie. It's not like life or death. So we, you know, adapted the situation with the animals.
Network-wise, how much do you keep in touch with alumni?
I try to stay more involved with it. That's how I'm on this podcast here with you, Randy, because you decided to reach out to me, which I appreciate. I feel like Grand Valley has a lot of resources that I don't take advantage of as an alumni. I definitely be guilty to that. You should rely on those. Because I film a lot on location, I never know my schedule. So it's hard for me sometimes to get involved because I don't want to let people down. I did this one thing at the alumni house a few years back. There was a dinner networking thing, and I met some great people talking with students that were about to graduate and vice versa. I think I remember helping Suzanne with her resume workshop, I think it was.
What are you looking for in resumes?
With film resumes, you have to be succinct and to the point, keep it one page and highlighting specific things, your skill set. Because when you're a production manager and you're literally looking at 1,000 resumes for one position, it has to stand out. It has to be concise. If I'm looking for PAs, entry-level positions, what at least is some foundation they have that can get them there? Because I've been in that position. Do they have set experience, whether it be student films or internships? Do they have some on-the-job experience? Do they not just have coursework? Do they also have some real-world experience? It may not necessarily be film. Do they have any kind of life experience in similar industries where they work retail? They interact with people. It's their foundation.
So don't be afraid to put those things alongside.
Yeah, don't necessarily be afraid to put those things, especially if you have minimal feature film experience. You might have something that parlays into it. Because when I applied, I think I had 2 internships as a set PA. So that probably gave me a little push to the top. If I have 30 seconds to look at it, what do I take away?
Could you talk to me a little bit about work-life balance? You're traveling in different cities, different countries. How do you kind of maintain your sanity?
I think in the recent years, I've been working on that, but my family and my wife have been very supportive throughout my entire career. If I didn't have that support system, I wouldn't be where I'm at, but it's a balance. I think in the beginning of my career, I was so focused on that, which may be a good thing or a bad thing, but you definitely have to live life to, you know, decompress. And I think for me specifically with my background in the military, you have to know what your limits are because when it starts affecting your work, are you getting adequate sleep? Is your work suffering from it? You have to be able to balance. Also with feature films, I compared feature films to commercial work. It's like a sprint versus cross-country track. Commercials are sprints. Feature films are like cross-country endurance. You have to balance those two different worlds. I gravitate more toward the endurance side of things, like feature films. Yeah. And that's just whatever your skill set is. You have to discover that on your own.
Yeah.
Because I know commercial producers that are like, they outproduce me big time when it comes to commercials. Like, I can't believe what they do in like 3 days.
Pulling crazy things together.
Yeah. But then I could produce a film in 25 days in my sleep. And they're like, whoa, producing a film for 25 days. That's like out of my lane. You have to figure out where you fit in that puzzle.
Totally.
I have a real good friend. She's a great commercial producer. And that's primarily been her career. And she produces big campaigns in LA. I slept on her couch when I started out. We first met on a commercial. We stay in touch all the time. She's trying to transition into directing feature films. So I've helped her create scenarios for feature films and stuff. But yeah, the commercial world sometimes is kind of foreign to me in that aspect.
In the feature film world, can you take us through your position from pre-production, production to post-production?
As a producer, it's a balance of both business and creative. Setting goals or benchmarks, staying on task help a lot. You come up with the concept. Your script is your architectural plans. It's your foundation. And then from there, how do we shoot this film? This is how we shoot the film, logistically. Now we see how the film is broken down. Each of these are phases, right? Let's just say financing is done. But now, how are we going to pay for the film budget-wise with the financing? And that's the thing with independent film. We're talking budgets below $10 million. We're not talking studio films. You can't throw money at the problem. You have to figure out the compromise of the financial, logistical, and creative. You come up with those three phases: script, schedule, and budget. Now we have to implement those. And that's where it comes in with your key personnel. As long as everybody's on the same page with these parameters, then you go to implement them and you move into pre-production. So producing, a lot of your work is in prep. Because the more prep you do, the smoother the shoot goes. But we all know there's Murphy's Law, and that's where experience comes in. If you do it enough times, you can get ahead of those Murphy's Law. You start implementing different tactics or procedures. You lean on your department heads. You all come together as a team, and then you get into the production. At this point, in my world, keep the cameras rolling, get the film.
What are things that would stop that?
Well, there's so many variables, like depending on the script, depending on the location. So you're dealing with weather. If I'm shooting an action film in Michigan in winter, I know my camera batteries are going to freeze. So I need to have a vehicle on standby to keep the camera batteries warm. All these logistical things, I need to get ahead of those to keep the machine moving. That's the logistical side of it. The creative side would be like, oh, the snow looks great, you know, on camera. So you get to the production phase. And depending on your position on there, if you're a lead producer, then you're carrying it on in the post. And then distribution negotiated ahead of time with what they call pre-sales, or are you taking this film out to the market? Then it really depends on how the film was set up in the beginning on that back end for distribution. Because a lot of independent films are pre-sold to get financing. There's the domestic market, which is Canada and US, and technically Mexico is considered Latin America. And then you have foreign markets. For our film, we didn't pre-sell our film, but we went and got Dean Cain on our own, and we privately financed the film. Go out to the free agent market, American film market. Can we get sales from that or distribution from that? And that's what we did. There's a lot of different avenues for distribution for independent film. Studios have things slated out ahead of time. It's more a corporation business setup, but independent films are more organic. That's really what dictates a lot of it. It's what is the story? What is the genre? What are you trying to tell? I know a few filmmakers that have made some great films, but it's like, well, what's your audience? It wasn't followed through all the way on that end.
As we wrap up here, if you have any other stories, I'd love to hear them.
We've covered a lot so far. The bottom line is, if it's something you're passionate about, pursue it. At the end of the day, determine what's best for yourself. You got to find where you fit or what feels right for you and do that. There's no right or wrong answer.
I like to end with having you brag about something you're like super proud of or a problem that you solved. Do you have something off the top of your head you're feeling really proud of you want to talk about?
I mean, I am proud of shooting Incantation because it was a once in a lifetime experience where we truly as filmmakers reported to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Though we had limited resources, we made a film that we wanted to make. At the time, it was like, what are we doing? We're taking this financial risk, but we have a film that we shot and it's very stylized. It's unique. We shot in a unique location. It may not be the most interesting or Oscar-winning performance film, but it's a film that we made that will outlive us. It's available currently on most mainstream streaming platforms like Amazon, iTunes. It might be on some Roku channels, some Tubi. If you Google The Incantation, it's out there.
And where can people follow you?
Follow Blue Falcon Productions on Facebook or Instagram, Twitter. I'm on Facebook, IMDb. Just keep doing what you're doing. There is no manual.
That's great. Well, thanks so much, Dan.
Yeah, thanks, Randy. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Alumni Live, the podcast. Subscribe to our podcast to hear more from our alumni across the industry. Check out Alumni Live on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for more conversations and networking. Let us know what topics you want to hear our alumni talk about. The Grand Valley State University Film Video Alumni Network is here for you, and we're glad that you're here. Thank you for listening.